Welcome to the Assemblée Dance Studio podcast, your go-to source for bite-sized lessons in growing and running your dance studio. I'm your host, Claire O'Shea, and I'm a dance studio owner and business coach, helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. Do you love the podcast content but are looking to get a bit more one-on-one strategy? If that is the case, I really encourage you to check out our monthly masterclasses. Each month, I dive into a specific topic that is going to help you and your dance studio reach the next level. So if you're interested in finding more about that, head to assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Again, each month is a specific topic catered to you and your dance studio, all about how to grow and create a bigger, more successful, just more streamlined dance studio. And if that's something you're interested in, you can buy a one-off masterclass. So if you can sort of pick and choose to what topics suit your interest, or alternatively, you can sign up for our membership to our masterclass, which is a discounted monthly price. So whatever you are interested in joining us for, you can check that out at assembleedancestudiocoaching.com/masterclass. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of my episodes released weekly. Hey guys, it's Claire O'Shea here, and welcome back to another episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. In today's episode, we have a guest whose dedication and passion have transformed the landscape of performing arts in this country, Australia. Abby Bradbury is not just any name in the industry. She's the creative director and founder of Dynamite Studios, one of the nation's most successful performing arts schools. Founded in 2007, after Abby returned from a prolific performance career both in Australia and abroad, Dynamite Studios has grown from offering 10 classes a week to accommodating over 1,000 students today. A trailblazer in every sense, Abby has been at the helm of a school facility for students in years 5 to 12 and has also spearheaded a vocational training program for those chasing professional dreams in the performing arts. Beyond that, she's co-established Evolution Management Co. and crafted a mentorship program that inspires like-minded entrepreneurial women. With accolades such as the 2010 International Women in Business's Young Businesswoman of the Year and making the top three for Gold Coast Women of the Year in 2018, Abby's pursuit of excellence is evident. Her story is not just about passion, it's about dedication, innovation, and the power of dreams. And today we're here to dive into that journey and uncover the magic behind Dynamite Studios. Please join me in welcoming the incredible Abby Bradbury. So thank you so much for joining me today, Abby. I'm so excited to speak with you and to find out all about you and your amazing business.
Thank you so much. So I'm Abby Bradbury. I am from the Gold Coast and I'm the director of Dynamite Studios and also the creative director of Evolution Management Co. So nice to be on the podcast today.
For those of you who don't know Abby, I know I said business, but aside from those amazing things, I know you have podcasts and you like, if I follow you on Instagram and honestly what you get done in a day and where you are, I'm like, oh my gosh, like how do you fit it all in? Like I saw you at ADF and then that looked insane. How was that?
It was epic. It was such a great weekend. It was huge. I feel like we're still recovering. It takes, you know, you always feel like you've got this giant hangover afterwards, dehydration, like all the things. I'm like, right, okay, I need to spend some days just getting back to routine. I love a good routine, but yeah, no, it was epic. We had such a great time and loved meeting so many amazing people and catching up with people we don't get to see often too. So I think it was their biggest one yet, this year. So it was awesome.
It looked crazy, like the amount of dancers, it was incredible. And I saw you guys had this amazing booth. Was that to like talk to potential dancers who are interested in coming to your studio for full-time programs or just for anything?
Yeah, we advertise typically at the ADF for our academy. So our academy consists of our accredited courses as well as like our part-time program, which is an accredited program, and our school, which we do from 5 to 12. So we use that space to promote those streams that we have, and just to introduce ourselves and what we do, you know, that the market's so broad, and I believe we do something very unique in the market. So yeah, so it's a really good opportunity to kind of get out there and expose ourselves and show Aussie dancers what we're made of. So that's cool.
Incredible. And I guess for those who aren't aware of Dynamite, like, one, what are they doing? But yeah. Two, can you give us a bit of an overview? Because we just chatting about ADF, you sort of spoke about all the different avenues of what you do. So can you give a bit of an overview? Like, you're not, you know, there's nothing wrong with just, you know, having classes after school. That's like incredible. But you have so many different parts of your business and your dance studio. So can you just give everyone a bit of an overview?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. I think that's the part that a lot of people maybe don't understand about what we do. Like, we're not the same school we were 16 years ago when we opened. We have evolved largely. You know, we have like 12 factories. So we, not just 12 like rooms, 12 full factories in a like a industrial complex. And we have, you know, state-of-the-art facilities that we've built, you know, from the ground up. They were just little empty shells when we first moved here. And definitely didn't come in getting all 12 at once. Like, we've built literally from one and gone then to two, then to four, then to, you know, so on and so on. And so basically we started out as a school offering, you know, part-time, like afternoon programs. So, you know, we typically did recreational classes and performance teams and preschool classes. And I always had the burning desire to offer a space where talent in Queensland could come to, that they didn't have to go anywhere else. They're able to come to one space, get access to everything they needed at every age and at every touch point in their journey. So, you know, that took time, and that took a lot of, you know, thought process and trial and error and all those types of things. And, you know, we're going into our 12th year of the Academy this year. So, you know, we've been an RTO for 12 years and a school for 12 years. So over that time, we've developed and grown and reinvented the wheel, because we're always learning and growing as well. So I think it's just being open to evolving. So we now obviously have all of those programs, which is like the afternoon recreational performance teams. We have the preschool program. We also specialize in streaming our programs. So we stream off into musical theater, circus, and dance. So we don't just offer dance. I think that's something where people get a little confused, thinking that we are just a dance school, but we're not. We are far greater than that. We have like huge circus facilities as well as musical theater facilities, and that's something we're really proud of and are growing and developing even more so coming into the new year. And then obviously, yeah, we have the Academy. So we pretty much run from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m, 6 days a week, you know, sometimes 7, depending if we have things running like rehearsals and stuff like that. So it is like a life sentence, I call it. We're in full operation, and pretty much the only time we take off is over Christmas. We take about like 3 weeks off over that period, because we are just we're so busy with amazing things. So yeah, it's that's us in a nutshell. Oh, plus we have obviously the we then have the agencies. So my business partner and I, Erin, we own an agency together, and Erin used to be our course advisor here at Dynamite, and we evolved and grew that organically through, once, you know, our talent were really making marks in the industry and gaining, you know, overseas contracts and things like that, that the agency developed through that and is now like a standalone agency, one of the biggest in the country, alongside some of the greats in Sydney. So, you know, we're really proud of that, and we're continuing to grow and develop that even more so and build connections all over the world. We've just become internationally registered with our accredited courses. So now we can bring in international students, which is super exciting.
I saw that. That was crazy.
Yeah. And then off to the side, you know, because I, you know, in all my free time, I coach businesses. So, my business partner, Erin, and I, with our Living Your Best Life program, we coach, you know, typically 6 to 10 businesses a year. And yeah, that's like one of my most rewarding parts to what I do. So,
yeah, I just, It's I and I'm so aware that obviously you have a large team to help facilitate and
it's actually
run
funny. I don't have a super large team.
Really?
It's not super large, no.
How big? How many people do you have helping you run all the different aspects?
So we currently have 12 full-time staff.
Okay.
And when you break that up across what we do, it's actually not a lot.
No.
Yes. So, but because we are, I would say we are in a new growth phase, we're developing some new programs and we're kind of, preparing for growth. We're definitely onboarding new team members at the moment. So that's something that we are definitely in that phase of doing. Because I feel like we can't get to the next level of where we want to be without the team. So yeah, we actually our team has been quite condensed for a while and they're epic at what they do, but I definitely know we can't get to the next level without more team on board because I don't for any means want to be burning out any of my staff. I want them to be living their best life just as much. So
yeah, and I think that that's also a really tricky time in any phase of business. Obviously, you have a large business and you're thinking about the next growth step. So for some people, the concept of 12 full-time staff is
I know, it is probably huge.
Mind-blowing. But obviously for the size of your studio, it's actually not – it's an incredible group of people who are just obviously really fantastic at what they do.
Yes, absolutely.
But for any business at any, growth period, there is, again, this, awkward, you need to grow – you need to employ more people to grow. But yes. It's such a risk even when you have such a big business behind you.
Yes.
So you spoke again, you talked about the different facets of your business and how you're constantly developing and growing.
Yeah.
If when you first started, you had the after school program and then it kind of built from there.
Yes.
Was there a turning point that made your studio grow into the powerhouse it is now? Or has it just been these sort of not small, but, decisive, action steps you've taken to add programs along the way? Or can you pinpoint it down to a specific year or a specific moment?
Yeah, it was COVID.
It was COVID. Okay. Yeah.
So we always had been plodding away at what we do and we've always done this. But I think 2019 for us was a year where we were right, we really solidified our brand and who we were and what we wanted to be in the industry. And I guess once we really – and we worked – we are big on vision, mission and values as a team. So we developed, a whole new kind of branding stage through 2019 where we were right, we're really going to go hard on this is who we are. That's kind of where we developed the streaming because, our market is so oversaturated. We wanted to be different. We wanted to be uniquely different. We didn't want to have competition because I think there is room for everybody in the industry. And we wanted to be our own competition. And, we wanted to be, and also I wanted to keep up with the students that I have. I'm so fortunate. I have such amazing students and an amazing community that grow with us from a very young age. And they, are coming through for 10, 12, 15 years through our program. So for me, it's always been them inspiring me to level up as well, because I'm this student who's been with me since they're three, now developing these skills that they're now wanting to be in Cirque du Soleil. Okay, right. I've got to develop a program that then is going to bring in the best coaches that's going to get them to that goal. Because, if I just stayed on this level of going, we're just this dance school, well, then we wouldn't be producing the artists we're producing either. So I feel like their dreams and goals have inspired me to always level up as well and go, right, well, I need the best circus coaches in the country. And to the point where I have relocated many a teacher to be here so that we can give and deliver that high-end training, or we fly them in every week, whatever it takes, to give the students the opportunity to have that exposure without having to be in the major cities. Because I believe too, Gold Coast has so much to offer, just even with film and television, we're doing, there's so much opportunity here for work. So I just don't think people need to do that big move anymore because they're being exposed to the same, if not more, opportunity here locally. So,
and do you think it was that COVID time where, you know, in Queensland compared to some places in the country and the world, we were, you know, relatively untouched in terms that we had, you know, small lockdowns. We, like every business, it was a struggle in terms of, you know, the rules and everything that we had to adhere by. But in general, we were able to work a lot more than other places. Do you feel like that was a big factor, or the fact that potentially you had, you know, I don't know, did you have extra time to really, again, focus down on your branding and your values and then really be able to explode after that?
Yeah, I think what happened was you either panicked or you found a way to reinvent yourself. So I remember that day so vividly, saying goodbye. We have a kiss and go system in our studio, and I remember saying goodbye to the kids, going, see you online tomorrow. And that was just so surreal. And we had just literally built new facilities. So it was like, what are we going to do here? Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's, and I was like, we can either sit here and go, oh, you know, this has happened, or we can find ways that we can make this work. And, you know, we were fortunate enough at that time, the rules were under per building. So as much as having these 12 factories and that can have its, you know, moments of difficulty, we found that that was our saving grace in COVID. We could have the square meter rule under per roof. So we have a studio pretty much in every different building. So that allowed us to run at full capacity online. We could have teachers in because they don't, like, each studio has its own doorway where you don't even have to cross paths. Like, we found ways around things that we were still very compliant because we pride ourselves on compliance. We have to, obviously, being an RTO and all of that. So that was something we were like, right, we want to do this the right way. And how can we kind of, you know, lead the way for others as well, that there are options. We don't have to, you know, all give up. There's got to be ways that we can survive this. And I think our industry did really well. I really do. I think that they did really well. And, you know, there was definitely moments in other states, like, my heart went out to so many people in other states where they were just so restricted. But, you know, I see now how much people have bounced back and the resilience and all of that kind of thing. It was really inspiring to see how, you know, people didn't give up. They fought to keep things alive, which was, you know, that's truly inspiring.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. And I find, obviously, there was a lot of people, and again, similar to you, I wasn't in another state, so I didn't have the lows of months and months and months in lockdown. Yeah. Obviously, any business still had those really challenging times with, like, before we sort of were aware of how the government was going to assist us, like, how are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to, like, you know, there were all those things that sort of came across our minds. But I know a lot of businesses, you know, they looked at that and they, you know, took a break and they decided, you know, actually this wasn't for them anymore. And then for other studio owners in particular, I think it kind of reinvigorated this passion for what they did. And that's clear to me that happened for you.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I find it really inspiring as well when you were talking about the sort of, not reinventing, but kind of, you know, changing and adapting your business to what obviously you think is going to be the best thing, but also the best thing for your students. Because I do find so many studio owners and businesses, you know, in other industries as well, they, you know, we're often told, you know, to niche down and to focus on what we do. And I think that that's great advice at some points. But I know even for myself, like, you know, you work so hard on getting students to a certain level, and then it kind of seems like a shame to then go, oh, we can't help you get to the next level, or we can't, you know, you look at the next place and think that they're better because of X, Y, Z. So I find that really, you know, inspiring that you were like, well, no, like, I know that we are the best or even better than, you know, the competition around us, and I'm going to kind of set ourselves apart in this way, and that your students can have the full journey with you, which is so incredible.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's it. It's like, and I think too, even if people, because so many people have different businesses, and I think there's not enough collaboration in our industry. And I think that's something I learned really early on, was about collaboration. I collaborate with a lot of people, whether it be musicians, whether it be other dance programs, or other dance schools, where we are able to help each other, like with the mentoring stuff. You know, I mentor other dance studio owners, and I absolutely love being able to give them all my insight to all the things that I've done, because I don't believe that any one of us is going to be the same. We all have our own journey, and we all have the opportunity to reach our fullest potential within what we're doing. And then it's coming up with then cool ways to keep students in your schools, but also then going, okay, but what's then the pathway if we're not doing a full-time program or whatever? How can we keep our seniors till they graduate, and then be able to help them in that new process and on that next journey and things like that?
Yeah, of course. Like, for a lot, and probably for majority of studios, having a full-time program's one, not going to be financially viable, or again, it just might not be something that the studio owner themselves even wants to consider or manage, which is totally understandable. But I find, like you said, even like the concept of collaborating then potentially with a studio who you really admire and has that next step, so you're able to kind of keep that touch point, would be really, really incredible. And I think, I don't like to say there's not competition, but because there is competition in our industry, and I do think sometimes people feel that, which is totally understandable.
Absolutely.
But like you said, I just feel like, to be honest, there is space for everyone, and there's kids turning two every day.
Yes.
So I find that, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I agree. I feel like there is enough, and just looking at the dance festival on the weekend, there is enough students to go around for everyone and for everyone to thrive. I think what it is that, and this is something that I'm really secure within myself, we aren't like anybody else. I know that. And yes, I think sometimes people put us in boxes to go, oh, well, they're like this person. But I'm like, when you actually come to our facilities, we're actually nothing like any other place in this country, nothing like it. And I love that, because we then should be able to celebrate all of our differences. We heavily focus on careers and pathways and individualizing the approach of our training, so that when students come here, they're not just coming to full time and then going home if they're from New Zealand or whatever. They're staying here and they're leaving with a job, whatever that might look like for them. And not every person is going to look the same. And I think that's the difference with our training and our coaching that we do from a very young age, is we celebrate the unique differences of all of our students. And I feel like that's what has grown our community, is because we're not all trying to be the same. We're celebrating the differences of everybody, because we are all so different. And, that, what's not to celebrate?
I totally agree. And I think as well, if even studio owners listening to this could take that message away and apply it to their business.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what makes you special and different? What are you proud of? And what can you focus on to set yourself apart from the competitor, but still also know that there's a place for them?
Because
there's some parents that you don't want that are going to be a perfect fit for another studio.
Absolutely. And that still happens to me. And I think that sometimes, because people think, oh, it's so big, I'm like, we still have the pain points that every other business has. I'm like, it doesn't become easier because we're bigger. Definitely becomes harder.
100%.
But we just got really clear on what our messaging is, and we got really clear on what our offerings are. And we're really clear about the business and who we are as a business, and, the product that we produce. And I think that's then really easy, because when people come to you, they know what they're getting when they come to you, because we're really clear about our marketing, and we're really clear about, from that get-go, when they're coming into classes, this is who we are, this is what we do, this is what we offer in this department, or if this is what you're looking for, this department would be more suited, or, those types of things. So I think, it is just being really clear about who you are as a business and a brand. And then I think then that's, you attract people and the right people to your business that way, when you're really clear.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I even in my business, like we have had a massive growth phase over the last 12 months, which has been incredible. Okay. But I think that the messaging and the types of programs that we sort of were advertising has actually become a little disconnected with like our mm-hmm. goals and things now. Mm-hmm. And so we are noticing again, and it's something that you just have to constantly reassess as a business. Like we are noticing like not more pain points, but you know, pain points that we sort of had thought we had ironed out. And upon reflection, it's because I don't think I need to again now sort of drill down even more, become clearer on our messaging, be clearer on our branding and what we offer, so that if that's not suitable to someone, they don't come to us because we're not going to be the right fit. And I think that's the issue. So more often than not, if as well, like, you know, speaking to studio owners, if they're having these particular issues, sometimes, you know, not to say it's always the studio owner's fault, but it's not no fault or blame, but sometimes getting really clear on your messaging and what you offer is the solution to so many problems. And I think that that's really, really great advice that you sort of shared with us. But before you did also touch on, aside from running your Dynamite Empire, you also do coaching.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that for our listeners potentially who are interested or just who also want to know a bit more behind the scenes on how you do what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that also was born in COVID. I had a friend of mine actually who owns a studio in Sydney reach out and say, have you ever thought of doing mentoring? And it's funny because I literally was developing like an online course program at the time through COVID. I was like, this is that moment where I've got time. Let's create those projects that I never had time to do. And my business partner, Erin, and I actually created Living Your Best Life and an online program, Mastering Inner Boss Babe. So, and we did that. And then I was like, well, I absolutely would love to coach. And she was our first client and we took her on. And from there, we weren't even really advertising, but people just got wind of what we were doing. And my Instagram was blowing up and people going, oh my God, how do I get coaching and stuff like that? So I felt really, really blessed with that because I love to share and support people. I think I love celebrating success and I believe I'm a giant cheerleader. I definitely love, I love seeing other people succeed. I think that, and it's just, I don't know why that isn't more normal, but it is definitely something that I've been grown up like around and it's been instilled in me to empower others, especially women in our industry. I know I was a young woman starting a business and I found that it had its challenges just being a woman and being young and not taken seriously and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely been a process and a journey for me too as an owner, like growing and learning, so being able to then empower others to grow and find their power within what they do and give them confidence. Like it's one of my favorite things to do. So how our program works is we only have a space for a select amount of clients each year. And the reason too is obviously there's a lot of programs out there that are for dance studio owners and they're very large and they're kind of generalized. And I find that for me, I've never been able to find in our industry, I've always had to go outside of our industry for business mentors. Like I want like the CEOs of the biggest brands in the country. I want to talk with them. Like, and that's, I'm really fortunate that I've had coaching from some of the biggest brands in the country, CEOs and, you know, general managers or whatever. So, because I definitely did not know anything about business when I first started, I was literally 20 and had no clue what I was doing. And I've had to learn some things the hard way, but you know, I'm always willing to learn and grow, you know, because I want to ensure I'm always doing the right thing. And, you know, I believe when you grow your business and you do everything, you put those systems and things in place, it can only thrive, you know, when the backbone's built. So, yeah, it was for us then having that opportunity to be able to give back to other studio owners that were finding things, you know, I feel like sometimes in our industry it can feel a little lonely and not really know who to talk to about those, you know, burning questions that you might have, or, you know, how do I get this from there? And sometimes it's just an outside perspective coming in and going, hey, have you thought of doing this? Or what about that? Or what if we implement this? And I'm proud to say that all my clients like this year have been thriving. They've won like local business awards. They've won, you know, we're a part of the Ready Set Dance community. They all won Ready Set Dance awards. They've all met either financial or student number KPIs and just things they never thought possible, all because, you know, they've made that time for themselves to meet. We do monthly sessions where we just like basically set out for the month a list of things to work on, or, you know, new ways to invent their wheels and things like get really solid in who they are as a brand and all of that kind of thing. So yeah, that's that program in a nutshell. And yeah, we really love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I really resonate with what you said. There is, you know, programs out there, and, you know, some people, they work really well, or maybe they depend, it depends on sort of the type of business you have, or maybe in the point in business ownership that you're in, that they're really, really suited for. But there does come a time, I think, for a lot of any business owner, and particularly dance studio owners, to find either someone who is a little bit more personalized potentially, or even outside of our industry, I think is a really great way to kind of expand. But like you said, I do think a lot of times DSOs are looking for that community, and potentially that's what they feel like they're missing. So I think that
And that's what we felt was missing in the market, is because I would do a lot of guest speaking and people were just like, I want to know more. And it's like, I have more to give too. So I feel like, and there's only so much you can give in, you know, a podcast or in a live session or whatever. And I feel like there's always so many more things I could give. So that's what's great about the mentoring, is my clients can come in and literally say, hey, look, I'm really not coping with this, or, you know, we want to get to this as our burning desire of a goal. We want to get to this point. I'm like, awesome. Let's put the strategy in place. Let's work towards that. What does that look like? What are the steps we need to take? And then they don't feel like they're overwhelmed, because we break it all down for them. We give them easy, like snackable little strategies to do. And then by the next month, they've kicked that goal off the list and, you know, feel so great about what they're doing. So I feel like it's just, different approach, and they can at any point through that month, like touch point with us to say, hey, I've had this come up. What do I do with this or whatever? So yeah, no, it's a really cool thing that we get to do.
And I find that's incredible. And you definitely sound so like inspired, and that you love that aspect as well, which is so fantastic. But I do find as well, like, you know, like you said, those little, not little, but like the checklist and the points. Yes. When you start having those little wins as a business owner, it fires you up to do it more. So I find that coaching as well, sometimes the commitment that you put into it, because maybe it's the cost that you spend, or again, the person that you're with that's inspiring you, often that's just the little push you need to really push yourself.
Absolutely. And I always believe, like, you have to spend money to make it. I feel like, you know, in our industry, it's always like, I can't afford that, or I can't. You have to change your mindset around money. Otherwise, you won't attract it. Like, it's, for me, I've never been driven by money. I'm like, my whole driving force is the passion that I have for this industry. And every business move I make has always been on gut. I know that sounds wild, but if I'd have made decisions based on a spreadsheet and a budget and, you know, my PLI, I mean, my profit and loss, like I probably would have been too scared to do anything. I feel like for me, everything, I've got a great team of like my accountant and my business team is amazing, but I feel like I often am like, well, we're going to do this, so whatever it takes to do it, we're doing it, is kind of my process. I'm like, I don't go, oh, can I afford, like, I'm not that one that's like, do we have the budget to do this? I'm like, we're doing this, like, what are we going to do to make it happen? So
yeah,
I feel like I'm never driven by like the fear of that. I go, right, I know. And, you know, I'm at that point right now where it's, oh, I now have to invest more money in order to get to this point. And I'm like, okay, this is probably one of the biggest risks. It's not the biggest yet. There'll always be a bigger risk. But at this point, I'm like, this is one of the biggest risks that I'm going to have to take. But, you know, if I then get the team right, I know we're going to get to those points we need to get to in order to thrive to the next level of where we want to be. So Yeah, I feel like for me, it's always then finding those encouraging moments to go, okay, we got this. We're a team. We're unified. We're going to work together. And when you have the team right, like things happen. And I feel like that is something definitely I've learned this year. 16 years in business, and I definitely don't have all the answers. And I've learned some really hard ones this year about team, especially. I feel like when the team is not right, or people don't actually understand the business that they're working for and aren't bought into the visions and the values and the community, it can be quite disastrous for your business. And I feel like that is something I learned this year, like wholly and solely. I was like, wow, people on paper can be very impressive, but when you bring them into your environment, they can be quite toxic and like they can ruin the whole momentum of the growth process if it's not right. And it's not necessarily to do with them as a person. It's just that they're not a fit, and that's okay. But you need to like, see ya, out. And that's something that, yeah, I definitely have had to learn the hard way this year, but we've definitely grown and learnt the right way of doing that. Cause I think onboarding is probably like the hardest thing to do in your business, right? When you're so desperate for staff, especially because you're so like, oh my God, like I know there's moments I'm like, I'm burnt out. Oh my God. I just need staff. Like anyone will do. No, anyone won't do. And that will cause you more work in the long run.
Absolutely.
You've got to have people who love the brand as much as you do. And I've actually found the key point to that is I've actually hired almost 90% of the staff, well, actually like 99% are either. So we have like a parent who's been here since I opened, and then the rest are all students.
Yeah.
And that have gone, had careers and come back. Because they love the place as much as I do, and they want to be a part of the growth. They want to be a part of the new phase of it. Sometimes the kids don't even want to bloody leave. I'm like, go, live your life, come back so I can retire. But yeah,
that's incredible. Like
that's, yeah, I feel like that's definitely, yeah, a lesson I really had to learn the hard way this year.
And I guess for people who are listening, if they don't have the option of hiring their students or for whatever reason, they could be, you know, regional or I don't know, maybe they just have a young studio. Do you have like, again, from the lessons you've learned this year, do you have like one tip or like one thing you would encourage any studio owner to do before hiring?
Yes. Okay. I have regional clients and I'm helping one of my clients at the moment with this because, you know, they've got like that, even though they're regional, they have quite a lot of schools around. So there's quite a lot of competition and there's a lot of that like school hopping thing going on. You know, I know that feeling is so disheartening. And as a business owner, like you try to give your staff everything and you know, it's like, okay, well, where did, you know, I'm someone that's like always, where did I go wrong? So I'm always like with my clients, all right, assess what was the process. But I'm also like, if you're in regional and you don't need a lot of staff, it's like, how can you have your business thriving? Like, what's your magic number? Then work backwards from that. If the magic number is saying like 250 kids, right, in a regional, which is quite amazing for a regional, like that's huge numbers, you'd go, okay, 250 kids. How many classes do you want? Like, where is the studio owner best fit? Is that in the business back end, or is it in teaching the classes? Because in regional, I find if you're not the one in the classroom, you're kind of opening yourself up to, if you have a teacher that then decides to move on, open yourself up for those kids to follow. So I often feel like in regional, it's you being the person in the room and then finding a gun that's behind the scenes, whether that be a family member, whether that be a friend, or, you know, because obviously regional, that there's, you're going to know people that you can trust to put in those other positions. So I often find finding the balance of going, you know, working creatively and being the person that's doing at still in the room, not for everything by any means, but I think it's important. Like I still am in the room I am like, I oversee my courses and I teach, you know, 3 to 4 classes a week still, because it's important I'm in the room. And I'll jump in if we have a teacher sick and I have the capacity, I will jump in and take a class, because I feel like it is so important to still have the presence within the building, because also you don't really know what's going on unless you're in the room, right? So I feel like it's so healthy to constantly be in. As much as I now go, yep, I need to work on the business, I can't lose sight of being in the business either, because you've got to have a handle of what's going on from the day to day inside the business. Like, I never want to get to the point where I don't know kids' names, or like, I know all the kids, I know parents, you know, grandparents. Like, we are a big community, but I never want to get to the point where I don't know someone, because this is like our home here. So I'm like, it's almost like having someone in your home you don't know. That to me doesn't feel right. So I'm heavily like involved in being on the ground. And I think for rural, especially if they struggle, they need to find where they are the power, if that makes sense. Like, where's your most powerful position in your business? Is it behind the scenes, or is it a mix between the both? So then if you do have an issue with someone going off or whatever, you're not losing your community, because you are the, you know, the point of the community, and that you know, the leader of the community. So yeah, I think it's just it is that spending time on going, where's your business structure? How is it structured? What's your organizational chart look like? Who reports to who? And all of those kind of things. Like, it's really important to know those things, even if you are a business of 2 people. You know, like, it's still important to have that structure, because that's what prepares you for growth and just even consistency. You know, even if you're happy where you're at and you just want to be retaining and having consistent flow, you still need that organizational, you know, aspect to the business and the procedures and things like that, so that they can have a journey through what they do and all of that. Sorry, I can ramble on forever.
No, I am just loving it. I just muted my mic because I always find myself going, yeah, oh, yeah. And then the audio like cuts out. So I was just sitting here being like, yes, yes. No, I 100% agree with what you said. And I think, again, it's so inspiring to hear you talk about being in the business, because I think there's a big, big message out there from, you know, some coaches and things. And again, I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do, but it's very much like, you can't be working in the business, you're going to be working on the business. And it's a massive thing they say. And whilst I agree, like you said, you have to spend time working on the business, at the end of the day, a dance studio is a people forward community. And
exactly. We are in the business of people and relationships, right? So it's all good and well that if you look at those business coaches, a lot of them speak from e-commerce businesses where they don't even know their community or their people, because they're literally a transaction. We're not a transaction. We literally are about human connection. Like, that is our business. And going back to even like COVID, we created new ways to have human connection, so that our community, when we came back, we were stronger than ever, because it's like, that is what our business is made up of. It's a community. It's human connection. It's people. Like, we can't. So if we are working on the business and just not connected to what's actually and the heartbeat of what's going on, and the people are the heartbeat, right? So if we're not connected to the people, how do we know how to grow? How do we know what they even want? How do we know, you know, what's working or what's not working? And I think that's important too. Like, even with staff, if you're not in on the ground with them and listening to their struggles or, you know, their pain points and helping fix those things, you won't keep them. You won't keep those staff. And, you know, I'm proud to say I've had staff here that still work that have been with me since I opened, you know, because they're just as committed to the vision and things like that. But it's, you know, you have to be on the ground listening and hearing. And because if you're not, sometimes you might have people in roles, and I've definitely had that, where they didn't care and they weren't listening to the people. And I lost some good people because the people I had in those leadership roles weren't listening, and they weren't connected to the people. And, you know, that was, you know, that's a lesson I had to learn and go, oh God, like, no, I'm the best person to be on the ground. And that's something I, with my business coaches, they're always like, oh, you need to have less. And I'm like, no, but you just don't understand the business. And when I go through and I explain, they're like, no, that makes sense. I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay, but let's try and have less people, maybe, you know, so you're not having, you know, the whole 1,000 people coming to you at once. How can they have different touch points? But where then I can be empowering the people that are at those touch points to make sure that the messaging is clear and the same and things like that. So yeah, I definitely, and that's what I love, like why I felt the need to coach, is because I just don't think people really understand our business, because it is so unique. As much as it is similar to other businesses, it has its own unique way of being as well.
Definitely. And like, you know, there's points, like for instance, I have a young child and I'm definitely not like in the classroom as much at the moment because that's the phase I'm in, but I already have a plan to get back in the classroom. Again, I do relief and things, but to compensate, I go and do front of house, or I pop into classes and move around. So it's not even necessarily, again, what, but sometimes you have to, out of necessity, teach you know, 5 hours of a night.
Yeah.
But again, it's them seeing your face. It's asking little casual questions to parents and seeing how they respond, and just seeing your teachers in action as well, which I think is just so
important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, so good.
Now, I know how busy you are, and I have one last question. So it's sort of tying in a lot of the things we were talking about with staff, size of your business, the different, you know, aspects and different kind of faculties that you have. And I know of a lot of studio owners that struggle with potentially balancing the different aspects of their school, whether it be like the recreational part with the performance team, maybe exams, maybe then, you know, a certificate program. What are some strategies that you use to ensure that everyone feels involved in like that massive community, like you said, included and a part of the Dynamite family, and still being able to scale and grow, and you know, not having to limit yourself to, you know, that 100 or 200 parents where you can still know absolutely everything? Obviously, the larger you get, you like, you are across everything, but you can't be as involved individually.
Yes.
Like, how do you manage to balance those different aspects, and so that, like, for instance, the recreational kids don't feel less than the comp kids, or the comp kids don't feel less than the full-time kids? Like, how do you manage that?
So I have, well, there's a few ways. So organization is my biggest, like, thing. It's like, I am so organized. Like, I've already got 2024 mapped. I've got, like, we're about to open enrollments for 2024. Like, we are literally every date, every touch point in the business is organized. There's no clashes. Everything is on a full calendar map. Like, our year gets mapped out, basically, so that all the touch points are there. So it's like, okay, you know, our itsy bitsy department, right, what are all the touch points? So I sit with the head of department and go, right, what are the touch points we want to have? All right, go away, make your calendar. And then the next department, go away, make your calendar. Right, now what are we missing that doesn't necessarily fit under, because it crosses over, which is like your exams, like our circus concert, our vocal concert, it covers across a few things. So then that's in our events department. So I'm like, right, then we got to make sure that doesn't clash, because we've got then assessment in this schedule. So we all just kind of work together. And because I am obviously across everything, and I do the majority of the course stuff, I go, well, we can't do that there because that's assessment week, or we can't do this here because that's going to be that. You're going to have kids that are crossing over into this, and our assistant teachers are working there, so we can't have that there. So it's just like a big giant like map. But you have to sit down and dedicate time to it. It can't be rushed. It can't be last minute. Like, that should be the first thing every studio owner is doing. And that has been something I've done since day one. I'm a little like OCD organized, because I can't function. Like, the year, like, how are we even in almost October? Like, what the heck? So I'm like, you know, if we didn't have that, we would be a hot mess. We would not be structured and planned for and able to then go, okay, yeah, we have an external group coming from Perth. They want a workshop. We wouldn't be able to offer that because we wouldn't even know what we're doing day to day. So we're really strict. We have daily tasks. Every team member has daily tasks in order for the place to function successfully. We then have like events, like procedures. So we know, right, And then we've got that calendar that maps us out. So, and then every team member has their role to do. And then ultimately it's up to that each team then just to stay on track with their schedule. So like each head of department has a mapped out year, and then they've just got to be super organized. I normally say like every event needs to be organized 3 months out so we can start advertising 3 months out. So that's kind of like the process of how we operate.
Fantastic. Yeah. So again, as well, giving ownership to your sort of team leaders in terms of once the overall calendar has been approved, then they kind of take that and they run. So they, for instance, your itsy bitsy department, they might have their own open day or their own fun event or something like that, which makes them feel really special.
Yes.
And that's what they focus on versus potentially, just having a special open day for the full-time only. So each program has that person that makes them the priority.
Yes, exactly. So that's the key is, having a person that is wholly and solely dedicated to those, you know, those community. Like it's like each little community. And then we all come together to connect. So we're not separated. We have like events then we do as a full community. And like then our senior kids get involved with the junior stuff. And so we constantly integrate. Even our courses, like I find that for me, how I get the students to feel so a part of what we do, like especially when they've moved state or country or, you know, whatever, even if it's just coming from a different school, the best way to get them involved in the community is have them involved. So they take little kids classes or they work on the car park system and they get to know people. And it's like, it's beautiful to see like full-timers connecting with a rec, you know, 8-year-old. At like some of the kids have these amazing connections because they work on the car park on a Monday night. So the Monday night's one of our rec nights. So all the rec kids are then connecting with the full-time kids and having those little like buddy moments. And I think that that's really important also for the full-timer to feel connected to something when they're away from home and things like that. So yeah, I think it's also teaching them about community and why it's important. And, you know, that, and that's why that this is always their home away from home when they're on contract, you know, they're also invested. I was at ADF on the weekend and I had that many students that are overseas working being like, we're thinking of you. We wish we were there. We're watching from afar. Like all of those things that I just go, wow, we've got these cheerleaders all over the world cheering us on, watching us. And that to me is really special. And I feel like that to me is more important than anything that we do is that that community and that family orientation that we have, like it's huge here. So yeah, I feel like that means more than anything really. That you've made that impact in people's lives.
Well, I think that is an absolutely incredible point to finish on. And again, I want to thank you so, so much for joining me today and imparting your wisdom and sharing, you know, personal things about you and your journey. And I know that a lot of people will resonate with the discussion that you're having and the challenges that you've had this year as well as be inspired by, you know, potentially pivoting their business in a way they might not have thought or taking their business to the next level. So I want to thank you so, so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been really fun. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Assemblé Dance Studio Coaching Podcast with your host, me, Claire O'Shea. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it on your stories on Instagram and tag the show or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Assemblé Dance Studio Coaching. Tune in next week for another episode all about helping you grow your dance studio simply and successfully so you can reach more students, grow your business, and become the go-to dance studio in your area. See you then!